This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
We're talking with Mark Bergman of the Democratic Party of Virginia and Sean Kenny of the Republican Party of Virginia. And gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Thank you, Coy.
Glad y'all could be here. I know you're quite busy today. Bob Gibson was just in the last half hour and talking about how today and tomorrow are two of the longest days in the legislative session this year, because crossover is Wednesday. So there is over 1,000 bills still remaining to be discussed and voted on in the Senate and the House. And I'm sure that y'all have busy days these couple of days, and you have a whole lot going on. If we could start, Sean, first with you, tell us what's going on in the Republican Party. There was a compromise for transportation that fell apart last week when Senator Chichester said, I'm not going to support this compromise. And we spoke with Senator Stolle at the end of last week, and he was very disappointed, clearly. He was one of the architects of this compromise. My first question is, was Chichester in on the compromise? It doesn't look like he was. And where do you think this? Where? How does this? What does this say about transportation? We're sort of right back where we were last year.
Well, clearly it's an important issue, and I think something that we have to keep in mind that the those involved in the compromise had about 3 months to get comfortable with the details. Chichester clearly isn't at that point. Neither is the majority of Senate Finance. All of that having been said, the House bill is still very much alive. The Senate has its issues as well. We're going to come out with a transportation plan. I think all Republicans are committed to that end with as little pain as possible. I think it's just a matter of getting back on the same page. I think there's always that issue about the general fund in the Senate. We don't want to give away the general fund in the Senate. And on the House side, it's the flip side of the issue. We have a surplus. That surplus belongs to the taxpayers, not to the government of Virginia, and therefore should be spent on their needs. And clearly the issue this year is transportation. So it took that compromise 3 months to get hammered out. We've kind of had it sprung on us for about the better part of 3 or 4 weeks. So I think in the end, as this moves along, there's still plenty of ball game left. It's not like this is the ninth inning and two outs and, two outs, three balls, and we got to take a swing. There's still a lot of daylight ahead of us, and we'll come up with a plan, I'm confident.
Mark Bergman with the Democratic Party of Virginia, let me ask you, let me play devil's advocate here, because personally, I don't know if I feel either way about this, but let me play devil's advocate. Everybody's crying that we can't take money out of the general fund for transportation. We need to come up with new taxes, what Governor Kaine calls a permanent funding source here. But the general fund is supposed to pay for the priorities of the state, health care and public safety in schools. Shouldn't roads be higher on the list? Why should we worry about taking money out of the general fund for roads? Shouldn't we bump it up on the list and perhaps put it ahead of schools?
Well, I think, first of all, let me say it's good to be on your show again, Coy. It's good to be with you, Sean. But let me say that we've set aside a separate fund, a transportation trust fund, to pay for the needs of transportation in our state. And it's important that we live up to that agreement and we don't pit paving roads and building a 21st century transportation system against the other important funding priorities of our state, because that's not the way that we've set up the system. So let's make sure we have adequate funding for our roads and it's sustained over the long haul so we can build the 21st transportation system. When we don't pit that against base adequacy for our colleges and universities, and we don't pit that against our primary and secondary schools, and we don't pit that against long-term care for our elderly, that we fund our key priorities and we don't do that at the expense of building a 21st century transportation system.
Sean Kenny with the Republican Party of Virginia, there was an article recently in the Wall Street Journal Political Diary that refers to a civil war in Virginia, a civil war within the Republican Party, which we see manifesting itself here with transportation. Last year and this year, more moderate Republicans in the Senate, comfortable with a gas tax, anti-tax Republicans in the House, absolutely refusing to entertain this idea of more taxes when we do have a surplus Is this sort of over the top, or is there really a rift that might manifest itself at the polls in November?
Well, a little bit of both. I don't think anybody's going to sit back and just and pretend that everything's rosy with the Republican Party of Virginia. Obviously, we're a large party. There are many different people under the tent. There are differences of opinion. I think it's somewhat refreshing to be able to be a part of a party that actually tolerates differences of opinion within its own membership. Most people readily identify myself as an arch conservative. I've identified myself with that wing of the party, and I'm proud to call myself a conservative. And certainly, I would have differences of opinions with some items that have come through General Assembly. All of that having been said, and the transportation issue is an excellent illustration of this. The ideas that are governing transportation, that are actually moving the ball down the field and working towards solutions, are coming from Republican leadership, either in the Senate and the House, whereas the Democratic proposals have been dead on arrival. They just simply haven't been entertained or even taken seriously. So either way, one way or another, yes, there are issues in the Republican Party. Yes, there are differences of opinion, but I think at the end of the day, both sides are going to stand up and readily tell you, moderate, conservative, even the libertarian wing of the Republican Party we belong to, we're going to do the job better than the Democrats, whose solution is just to tax and spend, tax and spend, tax and spend, because at the end of the day, for the Democratic Party, there's never going to be enough money for core services like education, transportation, and all the wish lists that those that would rather tax hard and wait would rather impose upon the citizens of Virginia. I think the Republican Party as a whole has better answers, and I think the folks that are involved are understand what's at stake, and we're all working towards the right end. We just have different ways of getting there.
Mark, with the Democratic Party of Virginia, your thoughts?
Yeah, let us not forget why we're here at a while we're here at even discussing a transportation solution this General Assembly session. It was for constant prodding from the Democratic Party, from Governor Kaine's leadership. He held dozens of town halls around the state asking for a solution. We spent over 200 days in session last year without any solution. And remember, that was all at the urging of Democrats, not Republicans. They left last year without a solution. We're only here at this point because of the work of the Democrats in the General Assembly and through the leadership of Governor Kaine.
Well, it is the opposition's duty to oppose. That's an old quote from Disraeli, and I'm glad to hear that the Democrats talk a good game on transportation, but unfortunately we haven't seen a realistic proposal coming from the Democratic side of the aisle, and I think that's really where the rubber hits the road. We have to have realistic, understandable solutions to transportation that don't exist in another world of hopes and dreams. They actually have to exist in the concrete world of reality, where we can actually sit down and talk about plans like the House plan, where we actually do, make the connection between transportation spending and land use. That's been a critical factor of this debate that has been long ignored by previous General Assemblies, Democratic and Republican. We have a 1930s transportation system stapled on top of a 1930s land use system that simply is not working. 21st century solutions take 21st century General Assemblies, and the Republican Party has led the way consistently. This is a Republican-led General Assembly. It's a Republican-led transportation debate. And going into 2007, we're going to be talking about Republican-led ideas and Republican solutions, not the mere opposition of Democrats who can just sit back and really be irrelevant to the process at the end of the day.
So, Sean, if I hear you right, the Democrats don't, they not only do they not have a plan for Iraq, they don't have a plan for transportation in Virginia. Mark, is that accurate?
Not even close. What Sean fails to mention is that the governor has put forward a transportation plan time and time again. The Democrats have asked for the Republican plan for over a year and a half, and only now are they beginning to discuss it. And what you're seeing is the Republican Party having a gaping chasm between them, not able to come up with a solution last year, and again struggling to come up with a solution this year. We look forward to working with them to bridge the gap, which they've been unable to do for over a year and a half on the issue.
We're talking with
to the issue of land use. Democrats and Governor Kaine has talked about land use and finding a way to tie transportation to land use development for a while, but unfortunately the Republicans have gone down the route where they've tried to push off the blame to local governments. Delegate Athey has put in a bill that would give local governments give them the responsibility to build local subdivision streets and give them the ability, give them the requirements without the funds, which has been opposed by Republican supervisors all across Northern Virginia.
We're talking with Sean Kenny and Mark Bergman. Mark is with the Democratic Party of Virginia, and Sean is with the Republican Party of Virginia. Let's take a very quick break here on Charlottesville right now, get a market update. It's News Radio 1070 WINA. We're talking with Mark Bergman of the Democratic Party of Virginia and Sean Kenny of the Republican Party of Virginia, both on the long line from their offices in Richmond. Glad you could be with us, gentlemen. Let's talk about the very latest on a couple of bills in the Virginia General Assembly. There's Delegate Chris Jones, and both of these have passed out of the committee. Delegate Chris Jones has a bill making an abortion. I'm sort of confused about this, Sean, so maybe you can help. Making an abortion a felony. And then there's another, Bob Marshall has a bill that gives the constitutional right to enjoyment of life to a preborn human being, the fetus. Maybe you can flesh these out for us.
Sure. Well, I know that the one that's been making the rounds on the blogs is causing the most heartburn right now is 2797, the little subtitle for it. It's proposed by Delegate Marshall's Born and Preborn Human Being Constitutional Right for to Enjoyment of Life. The bill pretty much designates life as beginning at the moment of fertilization, at the moment of conception. The other one that's making the rounds is, of course, 2648. This one makes it a felony to procure an abortion. So those are the two bills that are on the floor. Those are two bills that actually made it out of committee, which I think for some odd reason surprised Democrats, at least in the blogosphere. There's going to be a healthy debate on it, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
I thought abortion was legal. Abortion's legal in Virginia, and this law would make it illegal.
Let's see.
2648. House Bill 2648.
Would
Chris
make
Jones.
It a class 4 felony. I would assume that the intent of the bill would be to force a court decision. Obviously, you get your two layers of government. You have your federal and state.
So, right, right.
Obviously, 2648. The intent would be to pose the debate and take it to the courts. Is this really something that we want in Virginia or not? 2797, of course, has wider ranging implications. Obviously, there's not the direct legal implication there, but it does extend into the previous week's conversation when it comes to embryonic stem cell research and things of that nature.
Mark Bergman with the Democratic Party of Virginia, your thoughts?
Yeah, I happen to be here at the Capitol right now and can give you guys some updates on what happened to those bills. 2797, Delegate Marshall's bill, actually moments ago was just defeated on a bipartisan vote. 52 votes against the bill, it failed on the floor. What that bill would have done would have basically said that conception is the starting point, life, which would have had some far-reaching implications about Roe v. Wade. And on a bipartisan vote, Democrats and Republicans, they decided that that was too far-reaching, and it didn't even have any exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of the mother. House Bill 2648, which was Delegate Jones' bill, did get engrossed onto the third reading and will have final vote tomorrow. So I guess I could play a little bit of a reporter right now, just letting you know what happened to the bills. 2648 would have had some implications about whether, from the floor debate that I heard this afternoon, it seemed to me that the bill would have basically said, the intent of the bill was saying, if you tried to induce an abortion, for example, if a person were to shoot themselves in the womb with an intent to have an abortion, that would be a felony. The points were brought up on the floor from the Democrats that this would have some implications and could lead to back alley abortions as we had before Roe v. Wade passed. But that bill was advanced. Delegate Marshall's bill, I did not hear the floor debate, unfortunately, but my understanding is that failed in a bipartisan vote because they thought it went too far without providing any exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of the mother.
Now, isn't that exactly what happened? Either one of you can respond to this, but it's to my knowledge, there was a woman down in Suffolk who shot herself in the stomach to kill her fetus, and that's what led to Chris Jones putting in this bill.
Right. I have not seen that news report, but my understanding is the bill was far-reaching enough where that it would have made any type of abortion illegal and would have created some problems with the court and would have brought it to the court, as Sean said before.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Sean Kenny of the Republican Party of Virginia and Mark Bergman of the Democratic Party of Virginia, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070. We are going to break here at the bottom of the hour very quickly for some local news and a little weather, get an update on the frigid cold that has descended upon Virginia today, tonight, tomorrow, tomorrow night. And when we get back, we'll hear a few clips from Ed Gillespie. He's the new director of the Republican Party of Virginia. He was at the Miller Center at University of Virginia last week, and we'll play a few clips from his remarks and get Mark and Sean to comment on those remarks. This is Charlottesville Right Now on News Radio 1070 WINA. Sean Kenny of the Republican Party of Virginia and Mark Bergman of the Democratic Party of Virginia are join us on the phone for our Monday Virginia politics discussion. Do you agree with me, guys? That is pretty catchy.
It'll do.
Well, listen to the silence. Oh, gosh. Those third-party candidates.
I didn't hear a paid-for-authorized line, though.
I brought it down before she spoke. Hey, Ed Gillespie was in town last week at the Miller Center, and he spoke at their forums, a terrific program they run, forums they have lots of speakers in. And I want to play a few clips from his remarks and get y'all's thoughts on some of the first of it has to do with he was speaking sort of an overview of the years to come here in Virginia, beginning this year with the elections in the General Assembly. And he referred to it as the grand slam of Virginia politics. And here's Ed Gillespie, the new head of the Republican Party in Virginia.
In my view, over the next 3 years, in four different political contests, we will see the grand slam of Virginia politics, four legs of a grand slam that will determine which party will dominate our Commonwealth for a generation. And it begins this year with the contest for our General Assembly. All 100 House of Delegates seats are up, and all 40 state Senate seats are up. And it's pretty clear from Governor Kaine and Senator Webb and former Governor Warner that they want to retake the Virginia Senate in November. And they're pretty bound and determined to do it, and I'm bound and determined to stop them. And a lot of other folks are as well, I'm happy to say. But if they can win four seats, they can gain control, effective control of the Virginia State Senate. That's important not only for us as Virginians, but it can have an effect in the U.S. House of Representatives. This Senate that is elected in November will draw the congressional district boundaries as well as the state legislative boundaries for our delegation in the U.S. House of Representatives, which is currently an 8-3 Republican advantage in the delegation, and that could change with a creative pen in the hands of creative Democrats. So it's a high-stakes election in November, not only for our legislature, but for the impact it could have in the U.S. House of Representatives.
The comments of Ed Gillespie at the Miller Center recently, and we're talking with Sean Kenny of the Republican Party of Virginia, Mark Bergman of the Democratic Party of Virginia. The grand slam, of course, is the November elections this year for the House of Delegates and the Virginia Senate. And then next year, the congressional elections, Senator Warner's seat might be up, Thelma Drake's seat in the second, Tom Davis. The presidential contest also next year, and Ed Gillespie underscores the fact that Virginia will be a target state and that we're going to be one of those states in play. So we're going to see a whole lot of ads for president on the TV in the evenings. And then, of course, there's the governor's office in 2009. So I want to ask you, Sean Kenny with the Republican Party of Virginia, I'm certain that you agree with Ed that this the next 3 years is absolutely critical, that these few elections here in the next 3 years are going to determine the Virginia politics for the next generation. How exactly are the Republicans going to win these elections? How are they going to hold on to the Senate?
Wow, that could take a dissertation. But we're gonna be aggressive. I think that's the only thing you can do. We can't sit around and wait for the Democrats to make their moves or to to continue to oppose our plans, whether it's on transportation this year or education the following, or be what it may the next. We have a very positive vision for Virginia. There's a record of success that we can run on. I believe that most Virginians are still consistently on the side of free enterprise, lower taxes, safer communities. These are all things that we share in common. These are all things we believe in. These are all principles that the Republican Party continues to deliver on and the Democratic Party continues to talk about but never quite get around to formulating plans for. If you take a look at last year even, the Democrats still revel in tight races with Kilgore and Kane, with Webb and Allen, but look overall, the marriage amendment, or the Marshall Newman amendment with gay marriage, failed 57%. Still defended marriage and opposed revisions to that. This is still a very conservative state. I get the feeling that we've somehow, it's almost like fishtailing the back end of a truck, but we got the right gentleman at the helm. Chairman Gillespie is an excellent political operator. He's very easy to be loyal to. I think most of the staff here at RPV would instantly rally to his cause. He's just a genuinely good guy with a great vision for Virginia. And I think what we're going to see out of the Republican Party of Virginia is setting the past to the side and looking to the future and continue to push forward on the principles of the party and the record of accomplishment that we've built up over the last now 7 years of being in charge of General Assembly.
Mark Bergman with the Democratic Party of Virginia.
Well, if you look at the last five or six years, you've seen that it's not been the Republican Party that has been able to lead. They've come along reluctantly. In 2004, when we made the largest investment in education in Virginia history, it was Democrats that led the way. The Republican Party has come along reluctantly on transportation. It was Democrats that led the way on transportation. If you looked at the party that's moved Virginia forward over the last 6 or 7 years, it's been the Democratic Party, with the Republican Party being the reluctant followers. That's why we think that it's going to be another good year for Democrats in 2007 and beyond.
Let's play another clip from Ed Gillespie at the Miller Center. Here he is talking about sort of his vision for the Republican Party in Virginia, what he would like to see it do.
The Republican Party of Virginia can be a laboratory, I think, for the party across the country. The state parties are more important today under the new campaign finance laws that have weakened the national party. I can tell you, as the first chairman of the Republican National Committee to live under the bipartisan campaign Finance Reform Act, it weakened the national parties. Now, Democrats responded to that with these 527s, MoveOn.org, Moving America Forward, the blogs and all the independent ads, and George Soros and all this money going into these unregulated 527s, which I think should have to play by the same rules as the parties, by the way. They do the exact same thing. They ought to play by the same rules. But that's been the response on the part of the left. On the right, we haven't really had that kind of concerted response. And to me, the logical place for that response is in the state parties.
Mark Bergman with the Democratic Party of Virginia, your thoughts on this statement? And I thought the right had a concerted response similar to what he's discussing on the left.
Right. I'm not sure exactly the point that the chairman was trying to get at with his statement here about the 527s, because one of the most famous 527s is the Swift Boat ads, which actually came out of Virginia political operatives, including Chris LaCivita. So I'm not sure exactly the point he was trying to make. It's that happens to be now the rules of the game. And whether that's good or bad, it is the rules as they currently stand that were put forward by the Campaign Finance Reform Act. So both sides have done it. Whether it's right or wrong, that's for the Congress to decide.
Sean Kenny?
You've got to love the moral ambiguity when it comes to unregulated 527s. And Mark, we've all heard of MoveOn.org. We've all heard of 527s. I can tell you personally, the race that I helped run in Colorado, Congresswoman Marilyn Musgrave, we were 3 weeks out. We were 10 points in the lead. 527s turned around and unleashed $3.1 million at the last minute, all of it coming from a handful of billionaires, quite honestly, none of it coming from the vote. All of them attack ads, none of them contributing to the political discourse. We still won, but boy, does it, boy, it's a problem. And state parties don't have to deal in that same plane. We have to report. We have to be honest with how we approach politics, and we have to do it through personal contact and through grassroots. What the chairman was trying to establish is that we don't have to play the game that the 527s and the Democrats play in order to get our message out. We can do it through honest politics. We can do it up front. We can do it through state parties and engaging people on an individual level. That's, after all, what Republicans preach is individualism, personal contact and reaching out and sharing that positive message. The Democrats to date in their 527s, maybe they took a lesson from the Swift votes and have just decided to go nasty and negative all the time, but I don't think that's what Virginia's about. It's certainly not what America is about. There's a better way to go about doing politics, and I think the chairman's spot on. I think he's got the right vision, and we're going to continue to push it.
Speaking of contributing to the political discourse, let's hear his thoughts about Ed Gillespie's thoughts about gotcha politics.
This gotcha politics has gone too far. I think there's going to be a backlash. I think it's regrettable that here in Richmond in the General Assembly that the Democratic Party of Virginia has taken to going in and filming House members in the halls and in committee and editing those in deceptive ways and putting them up on the web. That kind of gotcha politics, it doesn't contribute to the civil discourse. When members are sitting in committee trying to work through policy solutions, we ought to let them try and work through those policy solutions without sticking a camera in their face and fearing that anything they say in a in an open discussion is going to end up somehow being edited and distorted to reflect poorly on them.
Chairman Gillespie, of course, referring to Assembly Access. Mark Bergman, you're one of the designers behind Assembly Access. Your thoughts?
Well, he couldn't have it more wrong. Assembly Access is simply trying to give Virginians who normally wouldn't be able to see the committee and subcommittee meetings of the General Assembly what happens at those meetings when the Republicans on those committees would prefer to see those issues die in the dark of night. No one is following members of the General Assembly around in the halls. And one other point that the chairman fails to point out is that the press, that these meetings are open to the public, and press often bring cameras to those meetings. So it's a matter of openness and giving access to the people of Virginia. And, I know Sean's going to talk about the Jeff Frederick video, and that seems to be the only refrain that the Republican Party has been able to talk about, but he was simply impeding the camera and impeding the ability for the people to see what was going on that committee meeting. Whether you like the Pink Panther music behind the video or not is to be said, but that simply is what happened in that committee meeting.
And Jeff Frederick, you referred to a delegate who actually sent aides over to stand in front of a camera so you couldn't see him?
Yes.
Sean Kenny?
Well, obviously, the chairman couldn't have it more right in this instance, and it's a shame. I think he's absolutely right with the gotcha politics, the paparazzi politics. Yet the Sorensen Institute, I remember the first sort of bloggers conference, and folks that are out of state may not know this or appreciate it, or, this may sound like it's more of the way things are done, but there's always been that Virginia way that we've kind of settled into, and folks in Virginia understand that there's a right way and there's a wrong way to go about politics and elevating political discourse. Sticking a camera in somebody's face, there's a reason why nobody complains about the press being there. It's because they don't put the Pink Panther music in the background, and they don't take snips, and they don't go ahead and present information in manners that simply don't reflect what happened right there on the floor. These meetings are open to the public. If there was an actual need for things to go to the floor or to be had for a recorded vote, there's a method of doing that. It's certainly much better than what the Democrats used to do, which is just go ahead and pocket veto and stymie debate altogether. There's a better way to go about politics. And when political parties, when out-of-state operatives, be it Democrat or Republican, in this case it happens to be Democratic operatives, lower the bar, I think it sets new standards. Who knows who's going to be the next next one on video. It's something. It could be a random blogger. Certainly those tools are available. That's not where politics needs to go, Mark. I disagree with you entirely. I am glad to see that Assembly Access has tightened up a little bit, grown a little bit of a conscience, and I for one appreciate that, but gosh, there's a long way to go. The paparazzi politics, the gotcha politics, you know, that doesn't advance issues. It doesn't advance ideas, and it's certainly, I think for any thinking individual, deserves quite a bit of scrutiny. It may be in an embryonic stage at this point, but gosh, there's a long way to go. And I really hope that Democrats would step back and join, not only Chairman Gillespie, but people of their own party, and say, is this where we want politics to go, towards 527s, towards the gotcha politics, or do we really want to take a step back and advance politics, give a little bit of boost? One example inside the Democratic Party would be Barack Obama. He certainly seen fit to elevate the discourse somewhat, but not all members of his party agree with that.
Let me ask Mark a question. Mark, if somebody didn't know about Assembly Access and they just listened to Chairman Gillespie's remarks, you would think that what y'all are doing, that what the Democrats are doing, is taking videotape and then editing it to make people look bad. Are you doing that?
No. And that's not the purpose of Assembly Access. The purpose is to show issues that normally wouldn't get the coverage, because they would be holding a subcommittee meeting at 7 o'clock in the morning, where they would be able to effectively kill legislation. And we're simply providing access to that to the members of the press that normally wouldn't attend a subcommittee meeting at 7 a.m. in the morning to watch a bill get voted down, and to make sure that people can see how they're voting. So since they're not taking recorded votes in those subcommittee meetings, that they would have the ability to see how their members voted. And just one other thing to point out to Sean, I'm not an out-of-state operative. I grew up in Richmond, Virginia, went to college at William & Mary, so that's just one point of contention I want to bring up.
Certainly. But, Mark, and obviously we're on the air now. Are you telling me that you don't edit a single video on Assembly Access?
I'm not saying we don't edit. We edit it for brevity, but we don't edit it to make people look bad. We are editing it to provide brevity and make sure that people can see the select areas, how they voted, when they voted, not necessarily taking things out of context.
Sure. There's a semantic fine line, though, between brevity and snips. And, again, nobody has a problem with the press going in there, because there's journalistic ethical standards they have to meet. But, once again, Assembly Access has already demonstrated this before, and the Democratic Party or the folks behind it have demonstrated before. This really isn't about access. It's about gotcha politics.
It has nothing to do with gotcha politics. It's simply providing the ability for people to see what happens in those subcommittee meetings. And, obviously, Sean, this is going to be something we're going to have to agree to disagree on.
Let's hear another comment from Ed Gillespie, who was at the Miller Center last week, to get you both to comment on this. We're talking with Sean Kenny and Mark Bergman. Here's Ed Gillespie last week at the Miller Center.
I believe and say in my book that the greatest opportunity for us to make gains in the electorate, I believe, is with the African-American vote. I think here in Virginia, in our Commonwealth, that's critically important. We have an opportunity to do that. The fact is that I believe that we can, over the course of the next decade, double, if not triple, our share of the African-American vote in national elections, and I would like to see us do that in statewide elections as well.
Sean Kenny with the Republican Party of Virginia, your chairman wants to double or triple support among African-Americans in Virginia for the Republican Party. How?
Well, I have an idea on that, and I'll ask Mark, because this is something that's almost super politics. Mark, who's in charge of the Democratic Party's Catholic outreach for Virginia?
In charge of the Catholic outreach?
Mm-hmm.
I am not sure.
African-American outreach?
Well, we have a number of members of the African-American caucus, Delegate Dwight Jones, and we have people that work on African-American outreach at our party.
Sure. Hispanic outreach?
We definitely have a Hispanic outreach caucus in our party.
Okay. Wow. That was actually the opposite answer I thought you were going to give, because the answer would be, on our end, we've always experimented with the Republican Party with Catholic outreach, African-American outreach, Hispanic outreach, and what it's effectively done is almost instantly, and I'm Catholic, so I empathize with this the one degree or another, it immediately sticks the label of other right on top of you and says, it's Catholic outreach because Catholics typically aren't Republican, or it's African-American outreach because Republicans typically aren't African-American, or Hispanic outreach because Republicans typically aren't Hispanic, and that's something that's got to go. We're not going to go down that route anymore, and I alluded to this earlier. It's going to be a matter of personal contact. We're no longer going to be sitting behind the desk in Richmond, you know, sending out directives and hoping the grassroots execute. We're getting our political directors out into the field. That's been a top priority of the chairman. We're going to reach out as best we can to just about everybody. It's going to take a process of time. I think the Chairman Gillespie, of all people, understands that it's not going to be an overnight process. But we're committed to it. We have the message of the Republican Party is not for Protestant, Anglo-Saxon, anything. It's a message of free enterprise. It's a message of an opportunity society, a small government, putting families first. That resonates with a whole heck of a lot of people, no matter what your background, be that race or economic status or whatever the case may be. So we have a very positive vision for Virginia. We're going to run with it, and I think we're going to try to back ourselves out of the mentality of reaching inward somehow and trying to pull something out of the hat. And we're going to start reaching out. We're going to start doing that on a one-on-one basis, where you're going to see Republican operatives in the field. It's no longer going to be your traditional form of Republican politics. I'm pretty excited to be a part of it.
Mark Bergman with the Democratic Party of Virginia. Can the Republicans in Virginia double or triple support among African Americans in a decade?
Well, I think it's going to be difficult for them after, you know, three pretty high-profile incidents with Makaka, and George Allen, Virgil Goode's comments about Muslims and the Koran, and most recently Frank Hargrove's comments about African Americans and slavery and Jews and Jewish Virginians. So I think it's not going to help their efforts, if anything. And if you look at the Democratic Party, we outreach to all those important communities. It's not hard because the principles of the Democratic Party, the principles of openness and inclusion and standing up for everyone, are the principles of those communities, of the African-American community, of the Muslim community, of the Jewish community, of the Indian-American community. Those are the principles of the Democratic Party, and we're able to reach out to those communities, and they feel comfortable at home with the Democratic Party and at home with our principles.
Sean Kenny is the Director of Communications for the Republican Party of Virginia, and Mark Bergman is Director of Communications for the Democratic Party of Virginia. They both join us every Monday to talk Virginia politics. Gentlemen, it's an honor. I appreciate your time, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week.
Thanks, Corey. Thank you, Mark. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Corey. Thanks, Sean.
Take care. This interview will be archived in its entirety on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at SevillePodcast.com. And we'll dig out some juicy bits and put them on 1070 on demand at WINA.com.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.